Alright, and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo, right here on NintendoOldReport.com. I'm Carl Castaneda, your host. Mike Sklenz has the night off. We've got two cohorts with us today, reviews editor Jonathan Metz.
Howdy ho!
And trivia manager Michael TYP Cole.
Wahey!
Alrighty. Let's get right into it, folks. What are we playing? I'm going to start with you, Johnny.
Man, this is not an exciting topic for me. I've had a really busy week. I've played some FF12 again. The good thing about this series is that despite its problems, and I have problems even with this game, which I like better than the last one, but you get a really good value for your money. I mean, you can't deny it. I started playing this game like the first week of the new year, and I'm still playing it. And I'm still playing it a few hours a week at least. So it's pretty impressive. I think I'm up to like 70, 80 hours.
Wow.
I'm definitely near the end. I'm just kind of doing a few side quests that interest me, and then there are a few more that I won't bother with.
Well, and, I mean, it wasn't in development for like 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
So you know, lots of time to
fix it. Can't you kind of say that of almost any modern 3D RPG? I mean, not that I've played all that many because I'm so sheltered and everything, and actually because I don't want to spend lots of time playing RPGs. But, I mean, it seems like every RPG I've played lately for a console has been at least 50 hours.
Yeah.
I remember Fire Emblem wasn't that long. It was only about 25, 26 hours.
Well, that's because you weren't playing it like I played it.
Although, you have to give Fire Emblem credit. I mean, it's all gameplay. There's no exploring towns or any of that stuff, so...
Right.
Hey, I like that stuff.
Oh, yeah, trust me, I really enjoy it, too.
I mean... Sometimes things get dragged out, though, you know.
That's right. One thing I'm not really attracted to Fire Emblem is that there's not really any adventuring aspect to it.
Oh, boo-hoo. Mm-hmm.
It's menus and battles. That's why I didn't like Ogre Battle 64. It's menus and battles.
I don't know. I think it's a little nice. It's nice because, you know, there's no fat to cut through. It's right to the meat all the time.
Yeah.
So, I guess it appeals to some people.
I've put in over 100 hours in Fire Emblem Path of Radiance, so...
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and that doesn't even count the fact that I replayed almost every single one a few times because I hate losing characters.
Oh yeah, I was getting near the end and I lost Riz the healer, uh-huh. And I was at the point where I'm like, I just don't care anymore, and I just let him die.
No, that's bad. Granted, I played it twice, that's why it's 100 hours. But even so.
Right. So what are you playing, TYP?
Well, I hate to say it, but I'm playing Wario Master Disguise, and I should have had the review out by now, but I just don't have the heart. But I gotta sit down. I was sick for a while. I don't really have any more excuses.
Right.
It's not a good game, and it's very disappointing, because there's some interesting concepts in there, and actually the boss battles are pretty neat, so I'm glad I played enough to see that, but, I don't know, the pacing is really slow, and I honestly think I have to blame the touchscreen controls.
Mm-hmm.
There's Wario can't butt stomp. I think that kind of sums it up in a nutshell.
Right. Well, isn't this not made by the same guys who did the other Wario games?
Yeah, it's made from some unknown third party. I don't remember their name. I can only look it up right now.
So it doesn't let you draw Suzak. A big butt on the screen in order to do a butt stomp?
No. It's made by Suzak.
That's automatically a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to give it probably a 5. I mean, the boss battles really are kind of clever, because you're switching powers really quickly and attacking them in various ways, and there's some neat stuff in that so far, but the exploring is kind of like... You ever play Goonies 2?
I did not.
On the NES?
No.
Well, the level design's kind of like that, where there are two sides to pretty much every level, and you go through the doors, and one side's connected one way, so you go through a door, and you go to the other side. You have to use your powers to, you know, get places, just like in a regular Wario game, but I don't know, just boring, and to get treasures you gotta do stupid mini-games, and it's just not a good game.
No good.
I've also, on the brighter side, I've been playing some Virtual Console games as well, and actually I've been playing a lot of Band Brothers, so that's another game that's good for your money if you ever imported that.
I never got to it. So, it's good, though, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. As for what I've been playing, I, much like Johnny, have had kind of a busy week. And so, you know, kind of when I'm in these busy weeks, I don't have that much time to play video games. I'll play a lot of Wii Sports, actually. Because you can just pick it up and play like a game of tennis or a game of bowling or whatever. And so that's pretty much all of what I play this week. But the thing about Wii Sports that's surprising to me is that when I first saw it, I wasn't really attracted to it at all.
It was the same way.
You know, and I was like, eh, you know, this is fine, I guess, for like a non-gamer. But I think that's my most played game on the Wii. By far. Which is a big shocker. Hey, you know, good for Nintendo. It definitely had longer legs than I thought it would. You know, I finally got pro status in bowling, and I was just so proud of myself. But, you know, other than that, it's been a fat load of not much. Anything else you guys have been playing?
Carl, haven't you been playing Spider-Man on DS?
Well, funny, you're gonna make me say this on the podcast.
Call out.
Okay, about maybe... How long ago did I get that game? 3.5, maybe 4 months ago? I got a game for review called Spider-Man Battle for New York, and I actually talked about it on the podcast when I got it. But, you know, things get in the way, and to give you the real honest short truth, I got lazy and just forgot about it. Until Dan Bloodworth has been just basically hounding me around for this review for like the past couple weeks, and then I actually got it done last week. So, yeah, I only have one more embarrassingly late review left. And after that, I'll have a clean slate.
Moo.
Yeah, that should be a hint as to what it is. But I won't say what. You'll have to guess. That's part of the intrigue of Radio Free Nintendo.
It's utterly
That's your
terrible.
Homework. That's your homework. Guess which review Carl is catching up on this week.
If you guess the right answer, you may receive a fabulous prize. Or maybe not.
Like, maybe you'll receive the game that he's reviewing.
No, I doubt it. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on to community before I say anything else that's too embarrassing. First up, Virtual Console Mondays of last week. First up, Tecmo Bowl on the NES. I heard it's pretty good. Got a recommendation for fans only though. I think it was Lindy who wrote that up.
I got the impression from what he wrote, and I never did play the game when I was young. I remember I had a lot of friends who always talked about it, and I had a lot of friends' moms who always said that was the only video game they liked to play was Tecmo Bowl. It's kind of strange. But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a ubiquitous game back in the NES days, and I don't know why I didn't have it, except back then I just didn't care about football. And but I got the impression from Lindemann's write-up that basically it's probably not going to be all that impressive or very much fun for people who didn't play it back in the day, but like it's got so much nostalgia packed in that if you did have it back in the 80s, that it's definitely worth downloading now.
Well, I've never played the game, but I've heard enough about it. It's kind of, as I understand it, it's kind of a football game made by Japanese developers, so it's not really a football game. It's it has the guise of a football game, but it's really more arcadey and just sort of zany. They don't really stick by the rules and stuff like that. So it's far from a simulation, and so I think that's part of its appeal.
Do you think it might be like the kind of the predecessor to something like iShield 21?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Because that game just came out on Wii last month, and I haven't heard anything about it. I doubt it was a very big seller.
I think I saw it on the Media Create charts, and I don't think it made the top 30.
Yeah. Well, the DS game wasn't very successful either, so.
So, yeah. But the next game on the list is Sonic Spinball, which I do remember playing when I think I was 4 or 5.
Oh, thank you for putting me on this podcast, because I get to rant about Sonic Spinball.
I don't have necessarily fond memories, because they're very vague. I mean, that was a long time ago for me. But, you know, pinball? How bad could it be?
So rip it apart, TYP.
Bad. I played it on the Genesis for a little while, and then I played it a little more when I hadn't lost Sonic Mega Collection. But I don't know where that thing is. But it's pretty shoddy. I don't really see the appeal to it. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those pinball adventure-style games, kind of in the style of Kirby's Pinball and I guess Mario Pinball Land now and stuff like that. Pinball Quest, awesome. But the controls are shoddy, the frame rate's really bad too, so you can't really tell what's going on. And it's just so easy to get lost in the darn thing that it really doesn't seem like there's any cohesion. Maybe I just didn't get far enough into it, and I'm not great at pinball games, but I just could not see the appeal to it. It just...
It did actually get a recommended for fans.
I guess so. If you were a Sonic fan back in the day and figured out how the hell to play the game, maybe there was something to it, but I don't think anyone who hasn't played the game and knows that they like it is going to have fun playing that game.
Well, speaking of terrible, the only game on the list to get a not recommended was on the TurboGrafx-16, and that was Double Dungeons. Not Double Dragons, Double Dungeons. And I believe this one was this one was in first person, and it just looked completely undesirable. So,
I don't know, it doesn't appeal to me, but the TurboGrafx things are like, they're kind of tricky for me because I didn't know a single person who owned a TurboGrafx when I was a kid. So I've never played any of these games. And honestly, it's going to take a pretty strong recommendation for me to go out and just like try to download a game that I know nothing about. You know, I've never even picked up a TurboGrafx controller. I don't even know what it looks like. So it's hard. You know, I still haven't downloaded any TurboGrafx games. And it may be a while before I do.
Yeah, it's funny because you say that, because I just downloaded my first. Just yesterday, I downloaded New Adventure Island. And it's partially because I think somewhere in the really hazy past, I played one of the Adventure Island games, probably on the NES, and never really knew what it was. And I eventually really discovered that was the franchise. So I picked it up. It's enjoyable. I mean, nothing amazing. But I agree, it's going to take like a really awesome game for me to say, oh my god, yeah, I'm going to go get that. Like if they brought out Castlevania on that, I'd probably check it out.
There's a Castlevania for TurboGrafx.
Well, in Japan.
Oh, Rondo of
Rondo
Blood,
X,
right?
Yeah.
But that was a CD game.
Yeah.
Aren't those all CD games, technically?
No, the 16 ones are cartridges, I think, yeah.
Well, and then I think there was TurboGrafx 16 CD or something like that.
Yeah, and that was where they had Castlevania.
Like, they've kind of indicated, it's been kind of ambiguous what Hudson has said about the possibility of the CD games coming to Virtual Console, but... It seems like they would require a lot of modifications to reduce the download size, if nothing else.
It would probably be somewhere in the emulator, like saying play MP3 files instead of a CD track, something like that, my guess.
Yeah, but I mean, that sounds like something that would take a longer time to implement. It may be down the road.
Yeah, that's not really like a drop and dump, which is what a lot of people are doing with VC games.
Yeah.
But moving on to our listener mail... We have a letter here from Kelsey who says, why do I have to wait for the Wii channels that use the internet to load up? I thought the idea behind the Wii Connect 24 was that my system would always be online. Any ideas as to why I have to wait so long to get the weather? Also, my Wii will light up when I get messages, yet they will not be there when I open my message box. I have to wait. Could this possibly be fixed?
What a fine question, Kelsey.
Thank you.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah. Why don't we tackle the first part first, which is why the internet takes so long to load up.
Because the Wii online access is very poorly designed and Nintendo should fix it immediately.
There's an answer.
Yeah. The way it really... I mean, that was what you said is the way they marketed it, and... Maybe for power consumption issues or whatever they had in mind, because clearly they care about power consumption for who knows why. But the way it works with when it's asleep and Wii Connect 24 is turned on, like once a day or whatever, it'll poke up the internet and find out if there's anything new. At least that's as far as I can tell. And then when you turn it on to actually do something, it has to reconnect, turn on the card or whatever for the wireless. And that doesn't always even work, and that's why it hangs up sometimes and never goes anywhere. Because the wireless card isn't working, and you got to unplug your system and plug it back in. Damn it! So
I mean, well, what's happening? I've got the so-called rumor dongle, and it shows you when a device is connected to the internet. It pops up on your computer monitor. So I can tell you that Wii Connect 24 actually connects to the internet about every 15 minutes. And what it's doing on there is pretty much jack. Nothing. I mean, it doesn't do anything. The only thing Wii Connect 24 does right now is check for Wii Mail, which I doubt anybody's really sending back and forth after the first couple weeks of novelty of having the Wii online. Basically, Wii Connect 24, completely worthless right now. You might as well turn it off. Seriously.
Well, I think it's looking for firmware updates, though.
No.
It isn't?
No. What happens when a firmware update is available? The Wii doesn't tell you. They may send you a message, which is Wii Mail. Yeah, that's the right. only thing it's checking. You still that's have true. To get on there and go to the menu and click update, and then it searches for firmware updates and then downloads it.
Yeah, it doesn't download it for you. I mean, it should do that kind of
it
stuff.
It should,
I don't
yes.
know why it doesn't. Like I said, it's like Nintendo is afraid to do anything for you. I don't know. It's in their personality.
And speaking of downloads, why is there no background downloading? That
well,
would be really useful.
For Virtual Console, it really wouldn't be all that useful because everything downloads so fast.
For you, maybe.
Do you have broadband? I mean,
I do.
It's not supposed to work with dial-up.
Probably
so
has
if you have
broadband,
I would
broadband.
Assume that... How long does it take you to download a game, Carl?
Depends. If it's a Genesis game, or Genesis or Super Nintendo game, maybe... 3 to 7 minutes, and for an N64 game it might take like it is low speed, but still, I mean, you know, it could take up to 15 to 20 minutes to do an N64 game.
I haven't downloaded any N64 games, but I know Super Mario Brothers downloaded in less than 30 seconds for me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mario didn't even hit all the bricks. He hit the first brick and then the second one, and then the download finished.
Yeah, the thing for me is that Virtual Console downloads really take so long that I have to hit the mute button because that elevator music is so grating that I can't take it for extended periods of time.
I just put the elevator music on the radio.
I'm sure, go for it. I'm sure people will love that. But there is another question here, actually about Everybody Votes. And Kelsey wants to know what kind of channels we think are going to be coming down the pipeline. Now, Wendy and I actually tackled this issue in RFN numero 40, where we talked about a lot of stuff, and we actually had a pretty big argument about demos. But since you guys weren't there, any ideas for future channels?
Well, remember that the full release Opera browser is supposed to come out this month. Mm-hmm. So we don't know exactly what day, but by the end of March... we should have that, and I'm sure that will be the channel for this month, because they do seem to be going about one per month. And then next
right.
month, at least in Japan, will be the Mii voting channel, or the Mii idol channel, if you will. And that will probably come out in America roughly at the same time, so that will probably be the one for April. So we do know for the next two channels, probably, what they're going to be.
Okay. And she asks about, you know, demos and previews of upcoming games, which, you know, we've had a lengthy discussion on multiple times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so check out past RFNs if you want to know that, Kelsey. And lastly, she says, okay, that's it. Thanks for giving me something to listen to while pretending to study art history, and you are welcome.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, but when we get back, it's time for the news, including the February NPD.
Dun-dun-dun.
See you in a second. Yeah. Are you looking for reviews, previews perhaps, impressions of the latest games, maybe a special or two? Well, you can find it at NintendoReport.com, the leading source of coverage in the Nintendo field. You know, when we're not basking in our own glory, we often make this podcast, Radio Free Nintendo, so you know we're all about quality. That's right everyone, we've done more on this planet than anyone in history ever. See you at the site. Alright, and we're back for the week's news. First up, the February NPD was released, and as usual, the Nintendo DS is on top with 485,000 units. Awesome. But is it really a surprise?
No.
In February? Yeah.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. Not that Nintendo, what? Not that the DS would be the number one, but it would sell 500,000 units in February. Which is not only the shortest month of the year, but traditionally a very weak, slow month for game system sales and game sales. So that's big, man. I mean, they're doing something that has people buying the system all year round.
I think part of it could be, I remember hearing that DS was harder to find than Wii even during Christmas. So this could be roll over from that if they're just getting DSs in stock.
True, very true.
Or it could be that they were all Valentine's Day gifts.
Yes, the pink DS Lite, popular item, perhaps. Next up is the Wii, which is the number 2 at 335,000 units, which I think actually is pretty surprising.
Considering there aren't any games. Yeah, but then again, people that buy the Wii are getting it for Wii Sports, probably. So.
Well, I mean, in February, Sonic was released, and so was SSX Blur.
Okay. Neither one of those were among the top-selling games of the month.
They were not, but...
Of course, SSX came out at the very end of the month.
That's true.
But Sonic did not, and Sonic did not... I don't think Sonic was in the top 20.
It wasn't.
Careful, Sonic fans could be listening.
Yeah, well...
Uh-oh. Well, you know.
Hi there!
We're no... We're no stranger to Sonic fans getting a little angry. Yeah. So after the Wii comes the venerable PS2 with 295,000 units. Still selling.
That's before God of War 2.
Yeah.
Very true. Although, is God of War 2 really a system seller?
I don't think so.
I mean, the first God of War only sold like a little over 1 million.
Really?
So, yeah. People make it out to be a much bigger seller than it actually was.
1 million is still pretty good.
That is good.
It is,
but
it's
not like
it is great.
It's not in the upper echelon of PS2 big sellers.
True,
though.
For PS2. Right. I mean, if that were on...
I thought it sold more than that.
Well,
GameCube,
I think it
might have
been closer to 2 million, but still, I mean, that's not really... It's not like a gigantic 4 million seller that everyone bought.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. All right, after that comes the Xbox 360 with 228,000. Which, selling better than it was this time last year. Of course, last year it was supply constrained. But the interesting thing to note about the 360 is that it hasn't really dipped. It's kind of stayed consistent since it was released.
Pretty much. Since it's been in stock, yeah.
Right, so, I know, and so it's not often the number one unit. Of course, it was in December. But, you know, since then it's kind of just stayed at a relatively, medium size number.
If you're playing Brain Age, they are walking.
After that comes the PSP with 176,000 units.
Hanging in there.
Hanging in there.
It's about the nicest thing I could say about it.
Hey, we can watch Mythbusters episodes on it.
You can. You can, you can use it.
Yes, you can use it. Hey, you know, it might get a kind of a marketing boost here because I saw a sneak preview yesterday of this movie, The Last Mimsy, which is like a kids movie. My friend had like free tickets to it, so we all went. We're all like graduate students in college, and we all drove down to Denver to see this movie. And we're in this theater packed with hundreds of screaming children. But it was a really good movie, actually. I liked it a lot. If I were 10 years old when I saw this movie, I'd be completely obsessed with it, and I'd buy all the toys and everything. I mean, it's extremely well made. But one of the main characters, the little boy, he's playing a PSP for about half the movie.
Nice.
And the only bad thing is, of course, because it's Hollywood, all the sounds that come out of the PSP make it sound like he's playing Pac-Man.
Yes.
Pachoo, pachoo. Right.
You know, that kind of reminds me of House. I don't know if you watch House at all. I watch it off and on.
Oh, yeah.
But originally he was playing a DS, if I remember correctly, and like, he was like playing the Metroid Prime Hunters First Hunt demo, and you could like actually see it. And then for some reason, maybe the next season or whatever, all of a sudden he's playing a PSP. And I wonder if some money exchanged hands or something.
Was that about the time House started doing drugs?
I think he was always doing drugs.
Well... Maybe it's just getting worse. I saw an episode a couple weeks ago where he faked having brain cancer.
Yes, I saw
so he
episode.
Could fly to Boston and get his brain injected with like some kind of stuff that would make him high for 2 weeks. And
nice.
His fellow doctors found out about it and kept him from doing it. But yeah,
with
he's
hilarious results.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, he's a huge druggie.
Nice.
And he does PSP. You hear that, kids?
He does PSP. After that comes
he does
the
PSP and PCP.
All right. After that comes the Game Boy Advance.
Wow.
With 136,000 units. Surprisingly, it's still selling. I don't know why.
How many of those are micros?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Not many.
Probably not many. But, yeah, I think the real story here isn't that the GBA sold 136,000 units. It's that right underneath it, the PS3 sold 127,000 units.
What the hell is that? Was that Baby Mario?
That was Baby Luigi crying.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. You hooked that up? Nice.
Jeez.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. But yeah, 127,000 units. Wow. I don't know, guys. Is the situation dire?
It's pretty dire, man. I mean, they had some big... They had Virtua Fighter 5 came out in February. And MotorStorm, right?
Well, yeah. Virtua Fighter 5, is that PS3 exclusive anymore? Or is it only for like a little while? I think it's coming to 360, isn't it?
Yeah, in a few summer, months.
Yeah. Yeah. And as for MotorStorm, didn't it come out like the end of the month?
Maybe, but it's supposed to be the biggest game yet. So yeah, you thought maybe people would have been buying PS3s in anticipation of it or something.
Not so much, though.
Apparently not.
Well, what killer apps are on the horizon? I mean, what are the big franchise things that people are going to go out and buy their PS3 for?
Heavenly Sword?
No.
No. For me, it's Little Big Planet, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a system seller. It's just going to be hardcore gamer cred, I think, more than anything else.
I don't know. I still don't understand how the level designer in that works. The video I saw looked like kind of a fairly typical 2D platformer, like a 2.5D platforming game, but right. It had so much motion blur on it, I almost puked watching the video. I really hope they're going to tone that down by the time the game comes out.
Right. Yeah.
But, I mean, it looked cool. I mean, it looked like it played great, but I don't understand the whole customization aspect of it.
It seems like a very community-based game. Like, you know, it's all about trying your friends' levels or trying the hottest new levels on the the charts or whatever.
Well, I'll say this about PS3 sales. Two things I want to say about it. First of all, it kind of really deflates Sony's PR comments from the past couple months. You know, every time an interviewer brings up the fact that you can find PS3 stacked up at every Best Buy in the country, they say, oh, that's because our distribution is so good. And
not so much.
Yeah, these sales kind of prove that they're full of it. I mean, I'm sure their distribution is good. It is better than Nintendo's because they're flying those things in air freight. But they're not actually selling very many of the systems, so it's easier to keep the shelves restocked. The other thing I want to say about it, and if Obi were here, he would say this. So I'm saying it for his benefit because I think he would be really upset if we got through this segment without saying something about it. But when the NPD numbers came out, Sony came out with a press release saying that they like totally dominated the month of February because Sony branded systems, PlayStation brand systems accounted for something like 38% of all revenue for the month. And I'm thinking, how is this possible? And then Obi reminded me that the PS3 costs three times as much as a Wii. So that's how they can win the revenue war, even though they pretty badly lost the system sales.
Well, it's more to it than just that. I think Kohler pointed this out in his blog. They said the PlayStation brand, which includes both PSP and PS3,
and PS2.
Versus Nintendo, who doesn't have a same brand for Wii and Nintendo DS.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, when Obi mentioned that they were winning the revenue war, I thought, yeah, but I bet they're... I bet they're losing the profit war with negative 25% or so on those PS3 sales. So
who's cared about profit when they argue about which system wins? Ever.
Yeah. You know, Kutaragi wants Sony to reduce the price by another $100.
They have to.
Yep. But he's like, he's kind of been shoved into a corner, hasn't he?
Well, he's a crazy man.
Yeah. Well, he's not crazy about that part.
Well, maybe not, right? But, and then after PS3, we've got two other ones. GameCube sells 24,000, probably all for Zelda.
Yeah.
Can we agree on that, I guess? And then finally, Xbox sells 480. Not 1,000, just 480.
I suspect that's for some game they want to play that isn't backwards compatible yet.
A lot of people are just like, I want to play this game, but not so much. And then they bought an Xbox. All right. After this comes this. I don't know what you would call it. It's not really a rumor. Just, you know, we're left in the air wondering. The official Nintendo magazine in the UK had a teaser for their next issue, and in which they say that a classic series will be coming to the Wii, and they had an image to go along with it, which is basically like a constellation, and the outline isn't really very clear. But someone very perceptive noticed that a piece of art from the Sega Saturn game Knights is the exact same, only the main character is in this little constellation thing. When you compare it side by side, there's no doubt about it. It's the same piece of art.
Yeah.
Does this mean that Knights is coming to the Wii? Thoughts?
I think it's possible. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the Knights game. I remember playing the demo for Knights on my friend's Sega Saturn, who, by the way, never bought an actual Sega Saturn game. He just played that demo disc. I really am not the right person to be talking about Knights. I think it's perfectly possible. I don't really know if this would be a virtual console thing. I suspect this would be a long-awaited sequel, honestly, for Wii.
Perhaps. I've never played Knights either. I never had a Saturn, and I'm sure most of our listeners have never played it for that matter. But, you know, obviously it's kind of a revered game, and everybody always asks Yuji Naka about it, and from what I understand of the gameplay, it seems actually very simple. It was a beautiful game. It had analog control, one of the first console games to have analog control. But it was very simple. The game design was kind of just like basically one mechanic. You flew around, you collected stuff, and the camera was sort of automatic. And in that sense, it seems like it kind of fits in with what Nintendo's doing with a lot of their Wii games. So it makes sense. It seems like a fine time, as good a time as any, to bring back the series. And I'll be curious about it if it's true. But, you know, I think I was telling these guys before the show started, there's a difference between this image being conclusively about Knights, and I think it is. I mean, if you look at the comparison, there's really no doubt about it. There's a difference between that and the teaser being an honest teaser, because this is a UK magazine, and they've been totally full of it many, many times in the past. And it could be an April Fool's joke. I don't know if they do that in England, but, you know, it could be.
A teaser and for an also, April Fool's joke?
Sure. Yeah. Well,
why not?
If you're going to be a bastard enough to do an April Fool's joke, you could be a bastard enough to tease it. And the other thing is, it could be something like, I don't know, it might be something that you're not expecting. Like TIP said, it could be a virtual console type of thing.
I don't think it's going to be a virtual console, but it could be.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. But, you know, you think that Yuji Naka's Probe Studio might be on it if it is true? Because, you know, he split off from Sega.
People are going to get mad at me for saying this, but I could care less if Yuji Naka is behind something at this point.
Yeah, Yuji Naka was behind Shadow the Hedgehog.
Was he really?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, his development team was. I'm convinced that anything Shadow or Sonic related has been pumped out kind of without his deep approval over in San Francisco or whatever. But I'm not crazy about Phantasy Star Online either, which I'm sure he was more active in. So, in fact, Billy Hatcher is the only thing that I think is tied to Yuji Naka that I've had, you know, been impressed by in some way in recent years.
Yeah. But, you know, if Knights does come to Wii, I think that'd be huge news.
Sure.
You know, Knights sequel period would be huge news.
It's huge news for, like, hardcore Sega fans on forums. It's not going to impact the system's success either way.
Oh, no, of course not.
It's an obscure Sega Sonic team title. I mean, at this point, there's a very small group of very vocal people who care a great deal about it. I think most people are like me. They may have heard about it, but they don't know anything about it, and they're just going to reserve any kind of excitement or anticipation until they actually see something about it and get a chance to play it and say, oh, I guess this is famous for a good reason.
Got it. All right, let's move on to our next news story. Opuna has been announced for the Wii. It's a game published by Koei, and it's got some star power attached to it. It's got a couple Dragon Quest guys as the lead artist and the planning director. And also, Final Fantasy XII's composer, Hitoshi Sakamoto, is going to do the soundtrack. So that's cool.
Is this the game that you control only with the nunchuck?
That's what I heard, yeah. That's kind of strange.
I think that might have been a misquote. Maybe it was just a certain aspect of the control that's only with the nunchuck.
The only way I can justify that is that you need an analog stick. Because there isn't one on the remote.
Yeah, I think it's totally reasonable that you could have a game that's only controlled with a nunchuck. It's got two buttons, motion controls, and a joystick. That's more than a lot of games need. So, I mean, the question is, why would they do that? Is it that they want you to use the other hand for writing down numbers or drawing a map or something like that? Or do you want they want you to somehow hold the nunchuck with two hands for some reason? You know.
Maybe, I don't know.
But I think it's an interesting idea, and, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean the game is extremely simple.
Right. I think the idea behind the storyline is that you're part of a, like, guardian race or something, and your family comes down to some planet, and everybody gets hurt, and now you gotta save them.
That sounds familiar.
So basically, every cliche RPG ever. I wonder if there's gonna be memory loss.
And swords.
There's gonna be memory loss. Yes!
Spiky hair?
Big swords. Spiky hair, perhaps. But it's being done by the Dragon Quest artist, so it's gotta have spiky hair.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, you know, judgment reserved. It was only announced this week, so we don't really know too much about it. But of games we do know a bit about, Naruto Clash of Ninja MVZ was announced for the Wii as well by D3 Publisher of America. It's going to have some original content. Now, the way I understand this is Naruto Gekitu Ninja Taisen 3 from Japan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're basically going to bring it over and attach Wii controls to it and maybe throw in some mini-games or whatever kind of original content they come up with and then ship it out.
Yeah. Which is good.
So it's basically... that is good. I hope they also include classic controller support, though.
Yeah, if you remember... I bet they will, because, again, the game was originally designed for GameCube. They'll probably include GameCube controller support. But, yeah. You know, when D3 first announced that they were bringing over these games to America, they only mentioned the first two games, and they said after that we'll just have to evaluate at that time. And I've said this before, but the consensus among people who've played a good portion of the series seems to be that starting at the third game, which is this one, they start to get really good. Like, they go up in an order of magnitude in quality for the third and the fourth one. So you know, there was a lot of worry that these last two games in the series, which were the best, were not going to come to America because of the timing of the Wii's release and the GameCube's demise, basically. And this is really good news that they're saying, that's no big deal. We can bring it out on Wii.
Yeah. Great news, actually, because now this means that 4 will probably come over, and supposedly 4 is freaking awesome.
It's better than Smash Brothers, so I've heard.
So says Ty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Better than Brawl, though? I know. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
We will definitely have to see. Last up for the news, GameSpy will provide the Wii's online tech. Mm-hmm. They did it with the DS, so, you know.
Yeah, and the DS online service has been awesome.
Yeah. You know, it could be better.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know?
Well, and the other aspect of this, and I definitely want to hear what you guys think about it, but, is there a kind of an ethical... situation here where you have GameSpy being a company that's owned by IGN, and actually both the GameSpy website and the IGN website provide editorial content on games. And this means that they're going to be, as they already have been with the DS, but now to an even greater degree, they're going to be providing editorial content to games that use technology coming from their company.
I think there's the potential for conflict of interest. But one thing you have to remember is large companies are expected to be able to keep proprietary information and conflict of interests in order. I mean, IBM made the processor for all three companies, and granted, that's IBM. But, I mean, if IGN wants to be playing the big boys and be part of Fox Interactive and all that stuff, you're expected to have some level of system in place to prevent that.
Yeah, right. and they've said that I know the guys at editorial at IGN, and I know some of them they're good guys, but I know they've said in the past that all these things are compartmentalized, so there's no interaction between them and the GameSpy technology division, etc. But and I believe that there's no direct contact, but I also believe they both report to the same executives, and there is a great potential for some possible bad conduct there, and it may even go on without the people at the low levels, the direct levels that we, the people that we read, without even they're even knowing about it. So yeah, it bothers me. You know, people like Matt Casamassina and Fran Mirabella, I have a fair amount of trust in them. I know those guys and they're nice guys, but I don't know anything about their bosses and their bosses' bosses, and I don't trust those guys at all.
Well, you know, did you notice anything when GameSpy started to provide the service for the DS? Did you notice a difference in content?
No, but I wasn't tracking it either. I mean, if you do it subtly, then people don't notice.
I'm just saying that if IGN was going to all of a sudden abandon their ethics, they probably would have done it by now.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not going to happen all of a sudden, if at all.
Right.
I'm just saying it's as they would say in the government, it gives the shadow of impropriety. I think I said that right. It's just maybe. It looks bad, basically, and it looks bad, and it gives people a reason to mistrust, and that's not a good thing. You know, I think, you know, in the gaming community, a lot of people look at this kind of thing and they just say, well, whatever. But it is potentially important. I mean, these companies like IGN and GameSpy do a lot to convince people which games to buy, and this is a little bit troubling, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Nintendo World Report would never do something like that.
Well, we're 100% independent.
Well, but Johnny, I find it hard to believe that, you know, whether or not a specific game sells well or not, it's going to affect how much GameSpy gets for supporting Nintendo's development of these tools.
I don't know. I mean, if they're paid, let me put it this way. Like, I mean, this is a completely hypothetical situation. I don't think this is the way it works, but it's a possibility. Again, this is the kind of thing that could happen now if a lot of bad things chained up properly. Okay, several online Wii games come out. Sites like IGN and GameSpy and whatever, Rotten Tomatoes even, kind of showcase those online features and talk about how they really make the game worth buying. And then other developers see that and they start to consider putting online features in their games, which means that they then have to go out and pay license fees to GameSpy for this technology through Nintendo. So indirectly, GameSpy makes more money because of what their editorial people have said. And that is unethical. So again, I don't think that's actually happening. But it is possible, and that possibility is very troubling. I mean, these kind of situations already exist in all media outlets, especially, you know, I mean, we have advertisements on our website, and people could say, well, you know, isn't it possible that you would promote a game that was advertised on your website? And I could say, well, it's not for me, because we have it set up so that when the way that the staff looks at the website, we don't even see the advertisements. And that's not why we did that, but it is one additional safeguard to anything like that happening. But this, you know, IGN and all the companies involved with it already have this issue. We all deal with this. This is something that kind of shadows over all of us. And it happens in newspapers and magazines and things like that too. But this is like a whole other thing, and it's even more complicated, more difficult to understand. I don't think it's a huge deal, but I think this kind of conglomeration is a problem, and I think it's a similar kind of problem to EA going out and buying up all these developers. I mean, what about when EA bought Criterion, and now they own Middleware? What is it called? I can't remember the name of the Middleware. It hasn't been in the news much lately because it kind of fell out of favor at that point. But you know, you're starting to see companies get involved in sectors that they weren't traditionally involved in, and it's not very clear how it's going to affect the market. And it's troubling, yeah. But hopefully nothing will come of it. That's all I can say.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our feature segment, Dear Mr. Miyamoto.
You've reached Nintendo Pirate Radio's lackey, Willworth, on loan, of course, to Radio Free Nintendo. Carl, nor Mike, nor Johnny, or anybody really is here right now, so leave a message after the beep. Thanks.
Yeah, I got something to say. You suck!
All right, and we're back for our feature segment. This one's going to be a little short, but I think you'll enjoy it anyway. Shigeru Miyamoto wants to know, via Yahoo Answers, how old we were when we first heard the term Nintendo. Also, what does the name mean to us now? We're just going to go around the room, so Johnny, I'll start with you.
Okay, I'll be quick, since I rambled so much before, but I can't remember when I first heard it. I remember, I kind of remember going with my dad to Walmart to get my first Nintendo Entertainment System. I was like 5 years old, and I don't even know what spurred me on to go get it. I don't think it was commercial. I think it was just talking to people, but yeah, I mean, I've had a Nintendo system for basically as long as I can remember, and what does it mean to me today? Well, it's different. I mean, you know, we have very different perspectives on this than most of the people who are going to be answering that at Yahoo. But, you know, I mean, I've met Nintendo. Like, Nintendo to me is like a collection of people that I know, and it's also like, I don't know, it just conjures up all these images of press releases and so many games that I've played and just all this bizarre stuff that to the average person would not occur to them. So it's a big word to me, and you know, it's big enough that I've spent 8 years talking about it and trying to dissect it and look at different parts of it. So I think they are a different company now. I mean, even the difference between Iwata and Yamauchi is massive,
staggering,
massive. So
yeah,
even in that sense, Nintendo really is like totally different than they were back when I was a kid, and for the most part I think that's good.
All right, and what about you, 2IP?
Well, I kind of have to agree. I mean, when I think Nintendo, obviously I think of Nate Bildorf. no, seriously, though. Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. Kind of like an overloaded term now. I mean, it's the games I loved as a kid and still enjoy to play. It's also just this big company, which I've dealt with before. And I think maybe the best answer is it's an approach to designing games where they care mostly about themselves and what they want to make the game more fun. And I think that a lot of developers, I mean, especially with the hardware developers, I mean, they're talking to third parties, they're thinking of things. Nintendo's kind of a, what do we want, and we'll give them whatever we want. And I think you've seen that in the digital audio not being on the Wii, and with some other design choices they made in terms of horsepower. And I think that just sort of encapsulates the company, that they know what they want, and they're going to do what they want, and then what they do is fun. So people in the end like it.
Well said.
All right. I guess I'll go now. Much like Johnny, I don't remember exactly how old I was when I heard Nintendo. I mean, my older brother was into video games before I was, obviously, and so I kind of knew about them through him. We didn't have a Super Nintendo when I was growing up. We had a Genesis, but we did have an NES. And we did have a Zapper and Duck Hunt and Mario and all that good stuff. So I guess I would be around, I don't really know how old I was. As for what Nintendo is to me now, I think Nintendo is like a living Magic 8 Ball. because you really never, they're the most predictable company ever. And to expand upon that is that you never know what they're going to do, but you always know how they're going to do it. Like, for example, when they announced, the Wii controller, Like, no one really saw that coming. But we knew what it was going to lead to, which is, you know, this whole non-gamer initiative and maybe a lot of not-so depth-filled gameplay, as we've seen from a lot of Wii titles. And it's just... It's almost frustrating for me to cover Nintendo, because I see them as being more personal than any other video game company. So it's like, when they mess up, I actually have an emotional response. Whereas, you know, if EA is, you know, not doing so well, I could probably just shrug it off. But if Nintendo is having, you know, if they're not making profits in a quarter, I'm like, oh man, how are we going to pull through this? So it's very strange. It's a very strange relationship that I have with Nintendo. I don't know. It's one of those things. I kind of see them as a friend that I'm frustrated with often, but that I can't stay mad at.
I think you kind of hit on an interesting point, and I think a lot of us and a lot of our listeners will agree that Nintendo has like an almost like a to talk about them, it feels like you're talking about a person more than a company.
Yeah.
More than a building, you know. Like, when I think Microsoft, I think of a building, Microsoft headquarters. And of course it's made up of people, as all companies are, but Nintendo almost seems like a character unto itself. I don't know. It does make it really weird. Like, when you... And I think that's part of why the fans are so vitriolic. And that's like, when you criticize Nintendo, it's almost like you're talking bad about someone's friend,
or
and they
celebrity.
Get so personally upset about it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I made a comment recently on our boards in response actually to episode 40, in which I might have spoke too soon and said that if Nintendo continued with this attitude of not caring for their user base after they've bought a product, like, and I use it in reference to like demos, like not having a hard drive for demos would be something that I would consider a great injustice. And so if they were to continue that attitude, I would not buy their next system. Now, not specifically for not having the hard drive, but if they continued with that attitude. And one of our forum members said, you know, I don't believe you. That's, you know, he got very very frustrated and angry with my comment, which is understandable. I might have spoke too soon when I said that. But it's the way that he presented it to me, it's like, dude, how could you say that about Nintendo? Don't you know what they've done for you? What about all those good times down by the pub? You know, it's a very strange relationship that Nintendo has with everybody. We've all met the mighty fist of Nintendo fans at one point or another. You know, whether it's posting a negative review or just saying anything that's controversial. Do you guys remember that blah 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 called GameCube 64?
You do? Not specifically. I don't remember topics were.
I remember it very much because it was like a month after I got hired. And so it was about, you know, how the drought of games resembles that of the N64 and how Nintendo hasn't done much to add more to their third-party support. And I remember actually someone called you, Johnny, a former fan.
Well, I mean... Hey, I'll stand up to that argument, even though I'd forgotten about it. The last year, especially, of GameCube has been probably just as bad, if not worse, than the last year of N64. And it didn't have to be that way. I mean, look at Sony. God of War 2 came out this week. PS3 came out 3 months ago. You're not going to see Nintendo release any new GameCube games. You haven't seen Nintendo release any new GameCube games for the past year. Yeah. And Nintendo's like, well, we're focusing on the new system. And I'm like, great, you should. But that doesn't mean you have to completely abandon the old system. And that problem is exacerbated by the lack of third-party support on GameCube.
I'm not so sure about that, Johnny, because you're talking about Sony, who has had the, you know, by far the most popular system the last generation. So they still have a... active families. Look how many PS2s are being sold still. Nintendo did that when they had their NES. they switched to the SNES, they still release some games for the NES. I mean, yeah. I think with the Wii, if the Wii turns out to be number one, I think they'll continue to release some Wii games after Wii 2 comes out or whatever. So I'm not sure that's a fair comparison.
I don't know. I just thought the transition from one generation to the next was very poorly handled and could have been a lot smoother. I mean, if you look at the way Microsoft did it, obviously they jumped a new system on their user base a little quickly, and I'm still not sure if I think that's a good idea. But there wasn't a long period of like, oh man, there are no good Xbox games coming out. You know, we'll just have to wait for the 360. It was more like there were still plenty of good Xbox games coming out, and Microsoft basically kind of cut that off and told publishers, hey, don't bother with those. Move everything up to the 360. And the problem was, after Resident Evil 4, there really were not any major games coming out on GameCube, and that was a long time to wait for the Wii.
Yeah, that
nothing to play
that
on the system.
That.
So, anyway, that's way off track, but
yeah,
just wanted to defend myself. Not a former fan.
Yeah, not a former, definitely still a fan.
Still a fan.
It's what a wacky relationship we all have with Nintendo.
Yeah.
But we do love Mr. Miyamoto. I don't think anyone has any hard feelings for him.
Well, there's just not enough blood and gore in his games.
He should be the executive producer for Manhunt 2.
Well, he was a producer on Twin Snakes, and there's plenty of blood and gore in that. Well, not
very true.
Not tons, but there is blood and gore in it. So,
all right. Well, that ought to just close it right on down for episode 44 of Radio Free Nintendo.
Huzzah!
Remember, if you want to send us email, it's rfn@nintendoworldreport.com, and we are of course available at the iTunes Music Store, where you can feel free to give us a rating and leave a review. Alright guys, join us next week when we will be talking about something somewhere at some time. Bum bum bum. Alright. Later, everybody.
Peace out.
Bye.